Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person, and all of you who are joining us online. We have several announcements this morning. Lots of things are starting to kick in for our fall season, including our backpack program. We finally heard this week from Davis Townsend how many students are in need of food on the weekends. This year it's going to be 75 students. Last year it was 55. It has jumped 20 students, and this tells us that there is a great, great need in our community, because without these backpacks, these students might not have any food over the weekend. And so we're going to have some information out about this. We're hoping maybe you'll want to adopt one of these children for the cost of $15.20 a month. That's how much it'll cost for them to have a backpack each weekend. So be on the lookout for more information in that regard. Also, we finally have some offering envelopes. I know for some of you this was really important, and so we have offering envelopes. These are going to be put out this week. They are generic envelopes. You don't need a particular number on it that will be yours. You just take one if you want it. Take a handful, take them home to put your offering in, but you'll put your name on there and how you want your offering divided out. So be on the lookout for those next Sunday. There was an error in the bulletin. Dale Frank did not die this week. It was another Dale that died. So if you saw his name in the bulletin, Dale Frank did not die this week. Although Chip Blower's mother, Peggy, did die this week, her goal was to make it to 100, and she did, but she died this past week, so keep Chip and his family in prayer. I will be taking a few days off this week, starting hopefully this afternoon through Friday. If there is an emergency or if you need anything, please reach out to David Brown. His phone number is in the bulletin. Speaking of pastoral care concerns, I want to lift up a couple of them to you, especially we just found out that Bobby Waitman is in the hospital. He is at Forsyth Hospital. Don't exactly know what's going on, but Jana is up there by herself with him. And so those of you that know that situation know that's a concern as well. So please be in prayer for Bobby and Jana. I don't think she has her cell phone with her. So I suppose if you wanted to be in touch, you could call Forsyth Hospital and see if they could transfer you to that room. But it sounds like an unfortunate situation kind of all the way around. We have a few things to celebrate this morning, especially Carolina Conrad's 90th birthday. Today is her 90th birthday. We are so grateful for the gift of you in our lives and in our congregation, and we would love to sing happy birthday to you. Celebrating their anniversary this week are Tim and Sharon Everhart and Brandon and Samantha Everhart. And then celebrating their baptisms are Paula Hedrick, Tina Heitman, and Isabel Heitman. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This morning is the first Sunday of the month, which means we will have our basket offering, and it's going to the scholarship fund this month. And we have a prayer shawl to bless. So we have offered that if you have a prayer shawl, but you have something going on and you want to bring it back, we can pray over it again. This is Eva Rae Clark's. Is your mom's last name Clark? Yeah, Eva. I just know her as Eva Rae. Eva Rae Clark's prayer shawl. Eva Rae had a pretty bad fall last weekend, and so we are going to pray for her and bless this prayer shawl. God, we give you thanks for the gift of prayer, and that when we come to you, you are there with open arms, ready and willing to listen. Listen to what comes from our lips. Listen to what is on our hearts and minds. We lift up to you this morning Eva Rae and ask that you would be with her as she continues to heal and recover from this fall. As she feels the weight of this prayer shawl upon her, may she feel the weight of our love and care for her here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, who greets us in this and every season, whose love never fails, whose promise is sure. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned. We have hurt our community. We have squandered your blessings. We have hoarded your bounty. We have failed to be honest. We have lacked the courage to speak. We have spoken falsely. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy. The triune God offers us boundless grace when we fail. Receive and live into the gift of God's mercy. You are freed and forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of love, giver of life, you know our frailties and failings. Give us your grace to overcome them. Keep us from those things that harm us, and guide us in the way of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Hi, friends. I'm going to read you a little story today, so I thought maybe you could sit here so you can see the pictures. Would that be all right? Everybody can see the pictures? And we have a new friend. What's our new friend's name?
Caroline.
Hi, Caroline. Well, the first song that we sung this morning, that's a hymn called All Creatures Worship God Most High. And it was written over, the lyrics, not the melody, was written over 800 years ago. So we talked last Sunday about how we are part of God's family, and God's family includes people who have lived all across the world and throughout time. And one of our brothers who lived 800 years ago, his name was St. Francis of Assisi. And he loved the world that God created so much. So much so that he called all created things brothers and sisters. And you heard that in the song, Brother Wind and Sister Moon and Brother Water. And he went about his days singing and singing and singing. But he loved God's creation so much, and especially the animals, that he went all around blessing animals all the time. And so I have this book here, and it's called A Prayer for the Animals. And I thought we could say this prayer together. So I'll say the words, and you all look at the pictures, okay? May all the animals of the earth and all the animals of the sky, and all the animals of the sea, be at peace. May they be free of hunger, may they be free of fear, and may their hearts and minds be calm. May everything in their world be just as it was meant to be. May the animals of the earth feel safe and secure, wild animals, working animals, and pets alike. May all of their needs be met so that they can enjoy the gentle breeze, or the shining moon and stars, or the chill of night, or the dark and hidden places, if that's their beloved home. May all the animals be at rest. May our hearts be open to caring for the animals of this world, to being a friend, a protector of the big and the small, that they might have the things that we wish for ourselves: good things to eat, a safe place to live, and the companionship of friends and family all the days of their lives. So that is a prayer that we have for all the animals of the earth. And the reason why we're reading this today is because this week, on October 4th, it's St. Francis's feast day. So we thought we would sing the song that he wrote this morning and offer our own blessing for the animals. Will you pray with me? You guys ready to pray? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church. Thank you for the world you created. And all the pets in it. And all the animals. Help us to care for them and offer them blessings. We love you, God.
We love you, God.
Amen. All right, you may go to Children's Church with Jane this morning.
The first reading is from Romans. Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from 1 Thessalonians. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Word of God, word of life.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are continuing our sermon series on the Apostles' Creed this morning, exploring what it means for us, what we believe, and what it means as we live out our lives. So at the end of the last Lord of the Rings movie, The Return of the King, Pippin, distraught by the pains and sorrows and looming defeat the hobbits had suffered in their quest, Pippin turns to the wise old wizard Gandalf and says, "I never thought it would end like this." And Gandalf replies to him, "End? No. The journey doesn't end here. There is another path we all must take. The gray-rained curtain of this world rolls back, and it will change to silver clouds, and then you see it. White shores and beyond, a fair green country under a swift sunrise." Brothers and sisters, today we are exploring the final phrase in the Apostles' Creed, "I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting." The end? No, this isn't the end. Because the truth is that death isn't the end for any of us. Our journey does not end with death. Because God has a more glorious future planned than we can imagine, when Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. When Jesus comes again, God will raise the dead, giving us all resurrected bodies just like Jesus. And forever we will live in communion and fellowship with the triune God, with one another, and with all of God's restored and redeemed creation. This is our great destiny and our great hope. And it isn't just our hope for the future. It's our blessed hope now. Because as the Apostle Paul reminds us in the Romans reading we just read a bit ago, we have already died. And we're raised to new life in our baptism. We have two resurrections. The first is when we emerge from the waters of baptism into the new and everlasting life that God has for us. And then our final resurrection, which will happen when human history as we know it ends. In baptism, we are united with Christ in his death, and God raises us to new and eternal life. As Lutherans, we believe that God gives us the gift of eternal life in our baptism, and then we live into that gift forever. There are other believers who think that eternal life begins when they die, and there are still others who think that going to heaven when you die is like a reward for believing in God or living a good life. But that is not the truth of what we believe. We believe that God's gift of eternal life is just that, a gift. There's nothing we can do to earn it, and it doesn't begin when we die. Our eternal life begins in our baptism, and we live into it forever. Now, someday, when human history as we know it comes to an end and Jesus returns, we believe that he will judge the living and the dead, and that he will fully consummate his kingdom, which will have no end. At that time, Jesus will set things right. He will mend everything that sin has torn apart, and he will create a just and peaceful order. And when this happens, we will all experience the final resurrection of our bodies, and we will enter into that final season of our eternal life, which will have no end. But let's jump back for just a minute, because every Sunday, whether we say this in the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, we say that we believe in the resurrection of the body, but do we really? We believe that Jesus' body was resurrected, but when we say that we believe in the resurrection of the body in the creeds, we are saying that we believe our bodies will be resurrected on the last day. Because the truth is, as Christians, we don't believe in the immortality of the soul. We believe in the resurrection of the body. The rub here, like we've seen other times in our sermon series, is that we've been more influenced by TV shows and movies and literature and even songs that have convinced us that what we believe is the immortality of souls. But this belief is not existent in Scripture. It's just not there. But what we do find in Scripture is that from the very, very beginning, Christianity shared with Judaism in the belief of the resurrection of the body and of a future life with God. We see this in the gospel reading that we read today. As a good and faithful Jew, Martha believed in the resurrection at the final day. In the book of Acts, over and over again, the proclamation of the resurrection and the proclamation of Christ go hand in hand. We read two of Paul's writings today, and in several more places, the Apostle Paul insists over and over again that what happened to Christ in his resurrection will happen to us also. And even in the New Testament books where the phrase the resurrection of the body doesn't appear, the concept is still woven throughout. So there is a strong scriptural basis for our belief in the resurrection of the body, mostly in Jesus Christ. So you might be saying, okay, well, what will all of this look like, and how will it happen, and maybe some other questions about the logistics and specifics. Well, the truth is that it's a mystery. None of us can predict the future, and none of us know the specifics of it. But this is why we don't live in certainty. We live in hope. We live in the hope of who God is and what God has done, is doing, and will continue to do. Brothers and sisters, our blessed hope is that we know our bodies will be transformed, and we trust that, even if we don't know what that will look like and how it will happen. But we know that our bodies will take on a resurrected form, just like Jesus' body was transformed into a resurrected form. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul argues that we cannot know what the resurrected body will be like on the basis of our knowledge of the body that we have now, any more than we could know from the shape of a seed the character of a tree. The truth is that our future hope lies beyond the limits of our imaginations, beyond speech, and beyond thoughts. But this we do know, that at an appointed time, Jesus will come again. And he will come in an ending that is not an ending, but a beginning. And he will transform the entire cosmos by eradicating sin and evil entirely and completely. This is our great hope, that Jesus will return and will be present with us in a world that will be completely transformed by his presence. This truth isn't to be feared or dreaded, but yearned for and celebrated. Jesus will bring heaven to earth in a way that will bring them together so they are one, in the new creation, in which Jesus will dwell with us for all eternity. Remember, dear ones, Easter begins in the cemetery. And when the temptation rises for us to say, "I never thought it would end like this," Jesus responds, "Ends? No, my beloved, your journey doesn't end here. Because our God, whose love is so powerful that death cannot separate us from it, will resurrect our bodies from the grave. We will be resurrected and gloriously transformed, and we will dwell with God forever, because in our baptism, we are joined to Christ forever." The great truth of our faith is that Jesus is risen, and the tomb is still empty, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Hear this in the very depths of your being. Jesus doesn't just give us eternal life. Jesus is eternal life, and he offers us his very self in the waters of baptism and in the bread and wine. So when you come forward today for communion, dip your finger in the baptismal waters and remind yourself that you are joined to Christ forever, that you have already died and God has raised you to new and everlasting life. Give thanks for that gift of eternal life. And then come to the table and taste and see how good God is with every cell in your body as you take into your very self the one who is the resurrection and the life. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We might live a brand new life, and if we
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. We put our trust in you as we pray for the church. Give bishops, pastors, deacons, and teachers the gifts of wisdom and discernment. Be with them in bold truth and faithful witness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lead us in your truth as we pray for creation. Empower us to look to the interests of others as we make choices that impact the environment. Summon us to be advocates for healthy waterways, habitats, and air. Hear us, O God. Lead us in justice as we pray for those in government, the military, and other positions of authority. Give them humble and willing hearts, looking to the needs of others. We pray also for our enemies. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Trusting your goodness, we pray for all caregivers and people who are sick or suffering in any way, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Caroline, Greg, Bonnie, Chip, Boyd, and all those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Give them encouragement and consolation in your presence. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Teach us your paths as we pray for this congregation. Be at work in us and unite us in your love as we labor together for the sake of the gospel. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We give thanks for all the saints who died secure in the knowledge of salvation, especially Peggy Blower. Keep us fearless in our faith and certain of your resurrection. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Let us pray together. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy. Thank you.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who, on the cross, opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All people are called to Christ's table. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
Able for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let's say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Oh,
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.